Dr. McGrady, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
No problem at all.
So, as I said before, Australia has passed 82 anti-terror laws since 2001. How often have these actually been put into place?
Look, it's sort of varied over time. What we saw in the very early days between 2002 and 2007, the years under the leadership of the Howard Coalition government, is that we saw new laws being enacted at an extraordinary rate of, on average, one every 6.7 weeks.
Wow.
We then had a bit of a quiet period until until Islamic State declared a caliphate in mid-2014. And since then, we've had still a very rapid rate of enactment of laws, but quite leisurely compared to those early years, only one every approximately 13 weeks, which is still very, very fast, faster than laws are enacted in any other area of law that I know of.
Yeah, absolutely. And what makes Australia's lawmaking stand out other than other countries that makes their laws?
Look, I mean, since 9/11, a lot of other countries that are comparable to Australia, a lot of other Western democracies have enacted a considerable number of laws. But Australia certainly surpasses them both in the number of laws that it's enacted, something that's often been described as hyper-legislation, but also, and more concerningly, in the scope of those laws. So Australia has some of the most broad-ranging, invasive laws of any other Western democracies that I'm aware of. I mean, just to give you an example, Australia, unlike any other Western democracy I know about, gives the power of detention and coercive questioning to its domestic intelligence agency, something that brings Australia's domestic intelligence agency, ASIO, close to being a secret police force, some might say.
And so do you think that's problematic then?
Absolutely. I think what's problematic is that Australia seems to have this attitude that if we just enact more and more laws, somehow that's going to make us safer. That if we just find the right piece of legislation, we will be able to eliminate terrorism. And I think because of that attitude, what we've seen is that we keep, rather than rethinking and reevaluating carefully whether the laws and the statute books are appropriate and sufficient, or whether we need to go down a different path, Australia seems to keep thinking that one day we will be able to eliminate this threat of terrorism altogether. And that's just quite simply wrong.
Considering our place on the world, on the global stage, we've been quite lucky in terms of our rate of terror attacks. Is this because of how many laws we have?
It's very difficult to evaluate. What we're essentially trying to prove is that, the laws contribute to a negative, a lack of anti-terrorism laws, that our laws have prevented something from occurring. And that's virtually impossible to establish. I'm not someone who thinks that Australia doesn't face any threat from terrorism. I think it's actually been incredibly concerning over the last, particularly 5 years, the number of actual and thwarted terrorist attacks that have occurred in Australia, especially given our geographic isolation. Homegrown terrorism in particular is a very significant problem in Australia. But I think what is also a problem is the fact that we have huge numbers of laws on our statute books that many people, including myself, would suggest have actually been counterproductive, that the perception that they're discriminatory, that they're selective, that they operate by reference to particular groups of individuals, have actually contributed to a real sense of alienation and marginalisation amongst particular minority communities in Australia. And that's something that we really want to stop from happening. We want to have an inclusive society. That's how best we protect against the growth of homegrown terrorism.
So keeping that in mind then, how would you suggest the government should go forward? Like, instead of just making a bunch of different laws about terrorism, how should they respond?
It's quite ironic that as a lawyer I'm suggesting to have less laws on the statute books. I think we really need to go back to the drawing board, to be quite honest. We started off in a pretty good place in 2002. We did need to have anti-terrorism laws on our statute books, something that was lacking. But the right response is not just simply to add more and more layers of legislation on top of one another, but rather to think innovatively about what are the root causes of the problem of terrorism. To listen to academics, to listen to other researchers who who are investigating these questions and have the time to do so, to really get to the root of what's happening here. Why are people, for example, travelling to Iraq and Syria to fight alongside Islamic State? What is giving them the motivation to do so? And until we start thinking about those kind of root causes and coming up with innovative ways of responding to those, of combating them, I don't think we're ever going to be able to adequately manage the threat of terrorism.
Dr. McGarrity, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning.
Thank you for having me on the program.